بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. One of the topics that is frequently discussed when we are consciously thinking of this particular concept and discussing it, but it's also something that many times, without realizing and subconsciously, we are accepting a form of it, and it's become part of Western civilization, Western culture in particular, which has then made its way to the East, is the idea of pluralism. Pluralism is one of those topics and concepts that the word is frequently used, the concept is discussed in different circles, in religious circles, in political circles, in more academic circles. We find these discussions with regards to the concept of pluralism, which of course is mentioned in a variety of different contexts. For example, as I mentioned, social pluralism, or religious pluralism, or pluralism in the context of philosophy or epistemology. And in each of these, it carries a certain weight, and the meanings of the concept of pluralism in each of those areas differs from it being used in a different field. For example, in some areas of philosophy or certain views within philosophy, pluralism may take the meaning of believing that truth and reality is not just one, it is more than one, and it is more than two. It is plural. Whereas in epistemology, it has to do with our cognition of reality. Is our cognition and reality, is the datum in our minds and the reality which is supposed to reflect, are they one and the same, or are they multiple? In the religious context, the concept of pluralism can take a few different meanings as well. Just to get our minds working on this, I'm not trying to quote in a way where I want to attribute to this author and to check the validity of this. Are these different forms of usages common? Are they being used? Is this word being used in this way or not? But just to think of or open our minds to what it can mean, at least, and sometimes does mean, according to some at least, in the context of religious pluralism. I'm quoting something that I found in Wikipedia, quoting Silk, or Mark Silk, in his book called Defining Religious Pluralism in America, a regional analysis. He mentions this, which is that it can indicate, the word religious pluralism can indicate one or more of the following. One of them is as the name of the worldview according to which one's religion is not the sole exclusive source of truth, and thus the acknowledgement that at least some truths and true values exist in other religions. It's basically saying that we're not saying nothing else contains any truth. All we're saying, for example, is that our religion contains, or we may say, a religious body or a religious person or a religious people may claim that their religion does include all of the truth, but does not make the claim that it is exclusive, meaning that no other religion has any part of the truth. For example, if I believe Islam contains all of the truths, but at the same time believe that the Christianity that is still available today does contain some truth, and of course those truths are mentioned in Islam as well, but they are found in Christianity, then I do believe in religious pluralism in this sense of the word, all right, which is something that we do agree with. In other words, there are truths that are found in other religions as well. However, it is not such that those truths are not found within Islam. Islam contains all the truths that are related to our guidance, all the truths about the origin of this world. It contains all the truths with regards to the governance, the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It contains the truth about the guidance, the prescriptions, the direction we need to take, the laws we need to have, how we need to live our lives, and so on and so forth. But some other religions contain part of that truth as well. For instance, Allama Tabatabai is quoted to have said, even Hinduism, which is not considered one of the Abrahamic and divine religions, he believes it has some source in some form of divine guidance given to some individual, and that it has been explained in a language that is very easily misunderstood, according to Allama Tabatabai. And he believes that what is said in Hindu scripture is similar to what we find with regards to Tawheed in some of our scripture. So whether we want to accept that or not, the fact is that other belief systems, other religions do contain some truth, but the issue is that we don't believe that they contain all of the truth, number one. And number two, we believe that Islam does contain all of the truth. And therefore, it is not necessary to refer to any other religion. So in this sense, if this is our belief, which it is, then we believe religious pluralism in this sense. But that's not what the word is commonly used in and what people mean by it when they talk about religious pluralism. It may be referring to some of the other ones that we have here. For example, he says again, it is going to indicate the following, that as acceptance of the concept that two or more religions with mutually exclusive truth claims are equally valid. So Islam has a claim that it contains exclusive truth. It contains truth that others do not contain. This is a claim that Islam makes. It has all of the truth. And other religions, other teachings have part of the truth. And therefore it has certain truths that no one else has. And then some claim that Christianity, not the Christianity that was revealed upon Jesus, as we believe, because the religion that was revealed upon Jesus, we believe, based on our teachings, that was not the complete truth. It was completed by the Holy Prophet, so that contained part of the truth. But Christianity of today claims that they obtain all of the truth, so it is exclusive to them. If somebody believes that the teachings of Christianity and the teachings of Islam are equally valid, then this is one meaning that a person may intend of the word religious pluralism. This is something that I think is used more frequently, or it is meant more frequently when the word is used, when the term is used, religious pluralism is used. This is something that is not acceptable. If religion is something that is supposed to be reflecting the real world and telling us about what the real world is actually, it is supposed to be describing to us objective reality in regards to the source of it and in regards to where we are at, and describing it as well as what direction we are headed towards and how we can have a prosperous life. If this is what religion is supposed to be giving us, then unless we consider praying and not praying being equally and having the same effect, which logically it can't, they cannot have the same effect. If you do the act and you don't, having the same result is not going to be something that's plausible. It's like saying if you have fire and if you don't make a fire, you're still going to be warm, so don't make it, just be as you are in the cold. That is logically unacceptable. And when we look at the scripture, when we look at the Qur'an, we find different or other teachings that inshallah we'll get to. One of the other meanings is that it's the understanding that the exclusive claims of different religions turn out, upon closer examination, to be variations of universal truths that have been taught since the immemorial. And this is called perennialism, and there's a whole ideology, and this is something that we hear again being used here and there, and it kind of gives us a wishy-washy picture of religion, and it's fine, you can take this or the other, they're talking about the same thing and somehow creating this confusion. Now whether this is logically possible or impossible, I'll leave that. We'll get to scripture, we will get to the Quran with regards to this, and see what the Quran has as a teaching. But this is definitely one of the meanings that is intended from religious pluralism, that, as we will see, the Quran very clearly rejects the idea of. There's other meanings as well that I'll skip on, but these were the two that I lastly mentioned are the ones that are frequently used and intended, and as I said, it has become part of a Western culture that you can't consider yourself to be having truth in your religion exclusively, to the extent or meaning that if you say one thing based on your religion and there's another religion that suggests something different with regards to a particular matter, then to claim that what you say or what your religion actually says is always the right choice, this is something that's not acceptable. And this is actually something that Islam definitely says, and we'll get to. So let's go to scripture. Let's go to the Quran and see what the Holy Quran has to say for us. Before mentioning the verse, let me clarify. There's a time where we want to look at this matter of pluralism outside of any religion and try to think before going and referring to any religion, is this something that is even logically acceptable, or is it something that before even going to any religion and looking at any scripture, we come to the conclusion that it's impossible? That's one discussion that we're not going to have here. That may be referred to as a philosophical discussion that can be discussed in a different setting. We are discussing this matter from the perspective of Islam. We want to say that if a person accepts Islam as a religion, does Islam have any teaching with regards to this? Does Islam say you can actually pick and choose? You don't have to follow me. You don't have to listen to it. There are some truths that are not in the Quran and not in Hadith, and they are found elsewhere. We can refer to them. Or does the Quran teach us otherwise? Does the Quran tell us that you can choose whatever religion you want, or does the Quran say, no, you have to follow these instructions? This is all of the truth exclusively. There is nothing else that contains this. When we look at the Quran makes it very clear that this religion is the only religion that contains all of the truth. I'll give you a couple of references from the Holy Quran. One verse is Surah Al-Imran, verse 19, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Religion, as I translated at this point, with God is Al-Islam. The religion has always been, or religion in its entirety, with God is Islam. What is this trying to say? We have to understand two words. One is Deen, the other is Al-Islam. With regards to the word deen, although the dictionaries do in the English language say that religion is a set of beliefs with regards to the world, with regards to the source of it, where it came from, the cause of it, with regards to the end of this life, with regards to the end of the world, with regards to there being life after death, and usually believing in something that is beyond matter, and then a set of instructions that come with it, and a moral code that come with that religion, although that's found in the dictionary, usually religion is at least not found referring to just any ideology, any type of outlook of the world, and any type of conduct. But when we look at the Qur'an and the teachings of the scholars based on the Qur'an, based on hadith, we find that the word deen does refer to any person's ideology with regards to the universe, with regards to God, with regards to the material world, with regards to the hereafter, and so on and so forth. That ideology and the actions that are performed based on that, which anything that anyone does is based on their belief system, all of that is referred to as a deen. So it's a combination of beliefs with regards to the world that surrounds us, and it is how a person lives their life. I'll mention this or give you a reference by one of the scholars in the book Shia by Allama Tabatabai, which has been translated by Dr. Hussein Nasr into the English language, page 33. This is the introduction, not the preface of Dr. Nasr himself, but the introduction. First he tries to define the word religion, then Islam, and then Shia. So when he's defining a deen, religion, he explains that every human being has a particular outlook on the world, and they understand this world, whether it is with a God that they understand it, or they understand it, or they think of it without a God, or with multiple gods. If they only think that it's the material world and that is it, and so on and so forth, that is something that every human being has. And the way they live their lives is based on how they view the world. The reason why they do everything in their lives is because of how they understand their surroundings. And this combination of those principal beliefs and how a person governs their life is referred to as deen. You can find that there, as I mentioned, I gave you the reference. But also, in the Holy Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word deen to refer to what the mushrikeen had, which is really not something that can be referred to as religion, I don't think, at least. We may expand the definition of the word religion to include it, but the way we define deen, it definitely includes that. And that is Surah Al-Kafirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. You have your deen and I have my deen. So it refers to the set of beliefs, the very incomplete and absurd beliefs that the pagans had, as well as how they lived their lives as deen, and it refers to what the Holy Prophet believed in and his practices, what he did in his life, how he governed his life. It refers to that also as deen. So the definition of deen is, as we mentioned, a set of beliefs that is related to understanding the world that surrounds us, the universe. Al-Islam is a word that Sometimes we use it as a proper noun to refer to it, to refer to the religion that was revealed upon the Holy Prophet. This is the religion that includes in its beliefs the belief in the prophethood of our beloved Prophet. It is a religion that includes as part of its beliefs that the Qur'an is a revelation of the Divine. It's a religion that includes as part of its beliefs that after the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib succeeds the Holy Prophet in being the authority that people need to refer to in all their matters of their deen and their dunya. These are some of the beliefs that are contained within this religion, this particular religion that is referred to as Islam as a proper noun. Also, this particular prayer that we face, Masjid al-Haram, the particular pilgrimage with all the specifics and details, these are part of this very specific religion that prior to the prophethood of our beloved Prophet did not exist on the face of the earth. It did exist in divine knowledge, but it was not revealed yet. The tanzeel of that, the revelation of that had not occurred. So at the time of Prophet Musa or Isa or Prophet Ibrahim or Prophet Nuh, this religion did not exist in this way. Even prior to the revelation upon the Holy Prophet, technically this religion did not exist. However, the word has a different meaning as well. Now, before I mention the other meaning, let me say that in the Holy Quran, the word Islam seems to have been used to refer to this particular religion. Because in one of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the Bedouins coming to the Holy Prophet and priding themselves or bragging to the Holy Prophet that we are believers, kind of making him feel like he has to respect them because they're acceptance of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet to respond to them that you have not become believers yet. Rather, you should say قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Right. The أَسْلَمْنَا there means that we have accepted Islam, meaning that we can be called as Muslims. We're not even, according to that verse, believers. It has not penetrated the heart yet. That Islam is the name Islam. But the other meaning of the word Islam is complete submission to God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this prayer from Prophet Ibrahim, or quotes Prophet Ibrahim as having supplicated to God in this way, that after they finished, him and his son Ismail finished reconstructing the house of God, the Kaaba, he made this prayer that رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. O Allah, make us each a Muslim for yourself. And in the Tafasir, especially Al-Mizan by Allama Tabatabai, he explains this Islam isn't the name of a religion. This is submission. And they're saying, they're asking God that, Ya Allah, make us complete submitters to yourself in every way. That's a very deep meaning. Now, in this verse, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, it means, after understanding what the word deen means, and now understanding what the word Islam means, it says that in terms of your beliefs and your practices, God says you have got to submit. How He created us, what He created us for, what is going to be the result of our actions in the hereafter, how we are going to be judged, is there going to be any form of intercession or there is not going to be, what is the intercession, what do we need to do, what are the what is the conduct that we need to have, what is the behavior that we need to have, what should we avoid, all of that is something that we have got to submit to God with regards to. So that religion, which is our understanding of the universe and how we need to behave in this world, how we need to conduct ourselves, that is something that needs to be submitted to God. And from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, that's how it is. Prophet Adam received his understanding of how the universe is from the God, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got it from God. And he got his instructions as to how to live his life from God. Prophet Nuh, the same. Prophet Ibrahim, again, in a similar way. He got all of that from the divine. The instructions that he got was different from Prophet Nuh. But it was the same in the sense that this was submission to the Lord. Whatever He says, we're going to do. Prophet Musa and Isa and our beloved Prophet, they all followed religion in this way. The way they view the world and the way they're going to behave is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is one verse that we want to quote. At the beginning of it, it had this idea. Now, the exclusiveness. This verse hasn't yet talked about the revelation of this final truth to the Holy Prophet and that it's exclusive. We'll mention another verse. But just to allude to this, the verse continues on something that alludes to this idea. Because it continues to say, وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Those who were bestowed the book, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, they didn't differ amongst themselves except after they were given knowledge from the divine, baghyan, out of transgression. In other words, deen is supposed to be submission. If Jews would have submitted to the Lord, when Jesus came, they would have all become followers of Jesus, which we refer to them as Christians. If Christians then would have submitted to God when Prophet Muhammad came, they should have submitted to him and accepted his religion. That is submission. That deen should have been there. But they deferred. They became two religions, Judaism and Christianity. Why? Because they received that, but instead of submitting to that knowledge that came from the divine, they diverted from it knowingly, baghyan, out of transgression. Knowingly and willingly they went against that. Christians, similarly, they turn into different sects. Jews as well, they turn into different sects. The differences amongst them is based on baghyan baynahum. So, wherever they differ from Islam, it is something that they've gone against that truth that was revealed, that ilm, that knowledge that was revealed by the divine. So this alludes to that idea, but it talks about the source of where the proper knowledge should come from. At least it tells us, God tells us, anything that's not from the divine is not the truth. Truth comes from the divine. And there's other verses that specifically mention this. And that is Baqarah verses 119. Baqarah verses 119 and 120. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Inna arsalnaka bil haqq bashiran wa nadhira wa la tus'alu an ashab al jahim. We have sent you with the truth. Doesn't say bihaqqin, with some truth. It says bil haqq, with the truth. All of truth is contained here. And the following verse is going to emphasize this idea. Inna arsalnaka bil haqq bashiran wa nadhira, that you're going to give good tidings to those who deserve them, and you will be warning those who deserve warning. وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. I will leave the translation due to the restraints of time. And then the following verse, 120, says, لَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. After saying, all of the haqq has been revealed to you, and you are a messenger that's supposed to be giving that message to the people, says that the Jews and the Christians that differ with you, they are not going to be pleased with you unless you change your message to that of the Christians or the Jews. That's the only way. nothing that you will do is going to satisfy them except you becoming Christian or Jew. That's the only way that they're going to be satisfied. Don't think that if you satisfy them on one issue or a second issue or a third issue, then they're going to leave you alone and accept you. No, you have to become a full Christian or a full Jew for them to accept you. And then it continues further by saying, and it's important, let me stress this idea, it doesn't say until you follow them in something that they're claiming with regards to, I don't know, physics or whatever. It says, حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. مِلَّة means religion. Until you follow their religion, their way of life, their set of beliefs, the way they see the world and the way they behave and conduct themselves. Then it says, قُلْ. Since they would want you to become Christian or Jewish, tell them, إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Guidance is from the divine. Divine guidance is true guidance. That's real guidance. That's what I need. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. If you follow their ahwa, their whims, it's interesting. First it said, unless you follow their religion, and then following their religion is referred to here by stating that it's following their whims, which means that wherever they differ from Islam, that's not the truth, that's not what God revealed, because God is the source of haqq and truth, that is their whims, it's not divine, it's not the truth, it doesn't tell us what the reality of the situation is. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. And it warns, if you so much as take one thing from them, in my word, I'm paraphrasing here, after the knowledge has been given to you from the Lord, if you change from that knowledge that is revealed to you from the Lord, and you want to follow what they have, then مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. No one can save you from God. It's a warning. It's a very, very scary warning as well. So as we can see, based on what is demonstrated in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says truth with regards to the reality of this universe, and also how to behave comes from the Lord, and that has been revealed to the Holy Prophet. Following any other religion, even the most similar that used to be divine, like Christianity and Judaism, is going against the truth. And therefore Islam very clearly believes and teaches that all of truth is within Islam. Anywhere anyone is going to agree with Islam, then they are agreeing with that much of the truth contained within Islam. And anywhere where anyone or anything is going to differ from what Islam says, then that is not the truth. And therefore, whatever Islam has is the truth. So, with regards to religious pluralism in this sense, between other religions and Islam, comparing, within Islam, the verses are very clear that Islam has all of the truth and nothing else has all the truth. Wherever they agree, alhamdulillah. Wherever they differ, they are not the truth, not Islam. So that idea of pluralism is not acceptable. There's another concept of pluralism within religion, which has to do with the interpretation of scripture, the interpretation of verses in the hadith, the interpretation of verses in the hadith with regards to the understanding of the universe, as well as the interpretation of the verses in ahadith with regards to our conduct, our practices, the wajibat, the muharramat, so on and so forth, what the maraja do, which we don't have time to explain in this session. Hopefully, if we get another opportunity, maybe somewhere else, we will be discussing that matter as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.